Skull and Evert present This Week in Horror.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Evert.
And I'm Sickle, and we're Sickle and Evert. We're the Unhallowed Reviewers. We've missed a couple weeks, but as Evert has taught me, I'm not going to apologize for it.
No, and it was a break. We took 40 episodes. This is the 41st episode. And now we're back. It's like, you know, just in time for the wonderful season that is Christmas.
Yes, what, Christmas?
That's why I said Christmas.
Oh, okay,
like,
that sounds...
Get it? It's like a crypt, Cryptsmith.
Oh, like a crypt. See, I thought you were saying crip, and I was like, well, that's...
I did it first, and I changed it into a pun later, because, like...
Oh, good, I like... Well, I like the pun better. I like the second pun better.
Well, yeah, of course. But, second time's a charm, right? we're going to talk about some trailers, talk about some movies, and talk about Christmas horror, and it's going to be a blast.
Woo!
So the first thing we're going to chat about is a movie called Tenet. I'm going to like check out of the Tenet conversation because it's a Christopher Nolan movie and I could care less, but I'm glad that Sickle is excited for it.
Yay! So, you know, Christopher Nolan, it's, you know...
Wow! I'm sorry, I'm legally obliged to do that anytime someone says Nolan.
He's become a very, like, polarized director nowadays, but I am proud to say that I love to suck his proverbial dick, and so I will be excited for his next movie that's coming out called Tenet, and watching the trailer for it, and by the way, it's not Tenet, like a tenant of a building, of an apartment building, it's Tenet, T-E-N-E-T.
I am incapable of reading it as Tenet, because I
know, it's
as
really
Tenet.
Hard.
And now it's just game over.
It's
the play on words is that it's symmetrical, but so is the word tenet. So
see, get it? Because it's a, what do you call those? And not onomatopoeia, but the other thing. So it's race car. So it's the trailer, as is the case with a lot of Christopher Nolan movies, gives you absolutely no information. It's just a guy that has...
There's some time travel stuff, and they make that very clear. So that is kind of...
Yes, but you can't tell what kind of time travel is happening. Like,
backwards,
it is very different. It's very like Inception-esque, where in the sense that like everything is happening, like, you know, it's Christopher Nolan. So as much as people may hate Christopher Nolan, I don't think that anybody can dismiss the respect that he puts into practical effects. The guy tries to do almost everything practical that he can. Like, for example, the scene in Inception in the hall. The hallway scene in Inception, where he, like, actually built a hallway and, like, had it spinning. And, like, they're fighting in this spinning hallway. Like, most people would have been, like, just CGI and put them on harnesses.
Was
and, like,
the,
they
like,
would just
dream
the end
falling into the dream practical effects?
The...
That's a
are you talking about the one at the beginning? Okay. I get it, because we were making it up.
Actually, I will say that this one does kind of actually look a little interesting to me. I'll probably see it, but I definitely won't pay to see it in theaters. Probably. Unless something crazy happens.
It does seem like it might have the most, like, thrillery elements. I highly doubt that it's going to go horror, but there is a part of the concept of the plot where it's hard to tell if it's being literal or metaphorical in it, but it's like the main character is dead, but he may not actually be dead. Who knows?
Yeah, they say
but I would
the
like the idea.
And then you're like, oh, I wonder if he's like a ghost, because it could be like a R.I.P.D. kind of thing, but...
Yeah, but, like, they're, like, interacting more with, like, somehow interacting with reality on some level,
yeah,
as opposed to, like, ghosts, so it's not goofy like that. Although I heard that movie was terrible, but I did kind of want to see it.
I liked it. I mean, it's got Ryan Reynolds, and so that's kind of, like, I mean, that's really all I need to enjoy a movie.
Jeff Bridges, like, can't go wrong with Jeff Bridges
sure,
either, right?
Sure.
I mean, I love both those guys. I don't know.
I'm gonna sneak one into here, if you're done talking about Tenet.
Yes. Oh, yes. Let's move on.
Are you? Have you heard of this movie called Free Guy? I think it's called Free Guy.
Yes, Free Guy. Yes, with Ryan Reynolds.
I'm
yeah, that movie looks
so
awesome.
So excited for it. And I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't realize. I thought it was coming straight to Netflix, but I think it's actually going to movie theaters. But it's not again not really a horror movie, but since we're talking about Ryan Reynolds, it's going to be interesting. He's basically you find out he's like an NPC in this world. And just crazy stuff's happening around him, and then he finally like gets unlocked. But I'm excited for it. And Ryan Reynolds has been just pumping out movies lately, which is awesome.
Yeah, because I can't get enough of Ryan Reynolds.
He needs to make more money so he can make more Deadpools on his own dime.
Ooh, yeah. It does look really good. It does look like it's going to have quite a bit of dark humor in it.
Yeah.
Which would be up our alley. But yeah, I'm really excited for that one. It does remind me of, like, it kind of makes me feel like it's like a lighthearted black comedy version of The 13th Floor, because that movie's essentially about a world, a virtual world of NPCs. I just ruined it for you, because that's kind of the big twist.
Cool.
So, congratulations.
It made me think of Wreck-It Ralph Wrecks the Internet, because I was, like, thinking of that, like, death race game they go into. That's what
kind of made
me feel like.
Yeah, it does seem like it might be going that route, in the sense that he's, like, you know, a chain reaction of, like, breaking people's NPCs. Kind of like Wall-E, where he, like, breaks the robots from, like, their normal path of, like, you know, chores and stuff, and they're like, what's happening? Yeah, I don't know, that's cool.
But let's break away. We're not talking about horror anymore. Let's talk about a horror trailer.
We just brought up Pixar. I'm sorry, guys.
Come to Daddy is a trailer. It's a new movie with Elijah Wood. I'm pretty much sold on almost anything Elijah Wood is in. Like, I'll watch it, even if it doesn't even seem to look that good. Like, what was the other one he did? It was, like, the one where they did the whole movie through, like computer cameras.
Maniac, I think it was.
Nah, it was something else. I'll figure it out.
I know what you're talking. Windows. I think it was just called Windows, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I thought you meant the one where it was first person.
Talk about Come to Daddy.
Yes, I think it looks amazing. It's and I apologize for not remembering this guy's name, but it's the dude from I don't know. I remember he was a psychiatrist in Seinfeld.
Are you talking about the director or like the dad?
No, the dad. The dad.
Steven McCaddy.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Of course. The guy from Pontypool.
And
Pontypool is amazing. If you haven't seen it, it's like one of the best zombie movies ever, because it's just a completely different kind of movie. But anyways, he's like, Elijah Wood, like, goes back to visit his estranged father, who lives in a cabin in the middle of nowhere, and his dad's crazy, and a bunch of weird stuff goes down, and it's supposed to be a really fun horror comedy. I've constantly heard it referred to as a crowd pleaser. To the point where I'm like, this feels like viral marketing that they're trying to get going, and it kind of bothers me a little bit, but it does look highly entertaining. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. It looks like really good. So I'm going to say it here, that way we can hear it, and it's captured. I believe what's happening in that film, after seeing the trailer one time, half watching it, is that he is luring various sons or daughters, and I'm air quoting here, into a situation where he calls them to his house, traps them, and then makes them fight in a battle royale. That's my call.
Which, I love that idea. I really hope it's that, because I was thinking it was just going to be going some kind of, like, culty, you know, seance-y route.
Yeah.
I don't know. Some kind of summoning thing. But that, I like your idea better. I love that. I really hope it's that.
Hopefully these guys can deliver, but... Alright, let's move on just talking about some movies that we saw recently. Maybe not recent movies, but movies we've seen recently.
Yes.
Go for it.
Well, first I have to throw us under the bus if this is about to happen. Did either one of us get to see Black Christmas? Because I did not get to catch it. Oh, you did? Wonderful. Yeah. Oh, great. Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that after we talk about these other two movies.
Fantastic, good. I'm glad that you were able to see it, because I wanted to, but I missed it. So one of the horror movies that I got to see was The Dark, which played at Telluride 2 years ago.
Was that 2 years ago now?
It was 2 years ago.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I know. And our friend was able to catch it, and he said it was pretty good, and it popped up on Vudu for sale a couple weeks ago, so I thought I'd download it. It was... really good. I really liked how it's definitely a character piece. It feels more like a dark drama, with some pretty intense violence in it, and some really dark themes. But it is a horror movie, but it's like a horror drama. And I found myself really enthralled with the story, even though it's almost kind of reverse is what you would expect it to be, in the sense that it's like, the pacing kind of, like, winds down. So, like, it's more violent and crazy at the beginning, and then it just gradually, like, goes down and down and down. But it goes so smoothly with, like, the story and the characters and, like, their progression that you're, like, really, like, your heart's involved in, like, what's happening to these people and the story And it's, I don't know, it's really interesting. It definitely takes a different take on, like, the whole, like, revengey ghost spirit undead thing. And, you know, it's kind of like the reverse Grudge. And I thought it was really good. It's definitely dark.
Yeah,
Definitely dark themes.
it sounded like it was one of those movies that had a lot of drama in it, so I kind of strayed away from it, but I don't think that made it a bad movie. It's just one I didn't want to see, but I'm glad that you enjoyed it.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely not a hot, it's not something that's gonna be like, you know, blood splatter everywhere, even though there are some crazy scenes. But like, it's not something that's gonna blow you away in that regard. It is a slower paced thing, and it's more subvert, you know. But I don't know. It was good.
Yeah.
It was
But
good.
speaking of a movie that does have a lot of blood spatter and gore,
Ooh,
I did
yeah.
watch Upgrade recently, and I think that's like in the running. It's too bad it came out last year, because it would have been definitely in the running for last year's top 10, because
Oh, absolutely.
it's so good. You, everyone's probably already seen Upgrade at this point, but I just got to watch it, and it was so awesome. Like, the best combination of like sci-fi horror without action movie that you could get, without having too much of any one of those, right? And what I didn't realize is the guy who directed and wrote it is the guy who plays one of the original victims in the Saw movie, Lee Whannell. And he's the other two, he's only directed four things so far: Insidious Chapter 3, Upgrade, The Invisible Man, and he's the new Invisible Man, and the new Escape from New York remake. So, I mean, I'm excited to see Invisible Man now that I know he did Upgrade. And
That's true. He's definitely got an eye to like do different things. Like he does a lot of different cinematography in Upgrade, especially.
Yeah, I think if you haven't seen Upgrade or you are on the fence, you should definitely 100% see it. It's great. It's a fantastic movie. It's got humor too. There's just like it's just like this mush pile, that's a bad way to describe it, of goodness. It's like
When it
yeah.
for When it first came out, I was first in line at the theater. I was so excited to see this movie, and when it first came out, it came out like, I think, if I remember correctly, a couple months before Venom did. It may have been a longer gap than that. But I remember after I watched it, I was like, this is what I hope Venom is. Like, because like, it's not that they're the same kind of movie, but like, if you break down the very bare bones of it, they're very similar. And so, like, it's cool to, like, see this movie that basically takes the Venom premise, if Spider-Man wasn't involved, like the Venom movie is. If you just took that premise and like ran with it and made it just this hyper violent action movie, and I don't know, it was really good. I love it. It's really a clever movie.
Yeah, I agree. I'm a big fan of Upgrade, but let's talk about a new one. So I did see the new Black Christmas movie. So and we'll talk. I guess we can talk about that for a second, because Black Christmas is kind of an interesting saga. I didn't realize this until, because I sometimes go see movies at the Alamo, and I highly suggest that if you have never done it, because the Alamo gives you a lot of insight with their pre-shows into things that have happened with the past in the movie, or like catch-ups if you're watching trilogies and things like that. So I actually learned a lot about Black Christmas going to see it there. And one of the things I learned is that the guy who directed the original Black Christmas was actually the guy who directed A Christmas Story. So the guy who directed like one of the more like kind of like iconic Christmas movies also directed another iconic Christmas movie, which is a horror movie about Christmas. And the thing he did at the time was really cool, is like he was developing these characters in a slasher movie to make them all seem unique. He had some really crazy shots. There's a lot of like things you can go into if you're a cinemaphile about Black Christmas, but suffice to say, it apparently got a ton of people into horror, and it was a really kind of interesting new thing. One of the other things they did was April Wolf actually talked about how Black Christmas like pushed them into creating new Black Christmas. And I will say, like, my opinions of this movie are come from a very like socio-political place, I think, because it is a movie that is definitely like in the vein of like commenting on society. But that's kind of the point of slashers, I think, is to kind of poke fun at these like stereotypes to like let people feel more comfortable talking about them in real life, kind of. But and that's like a thing that slashers used to do that they don't do anymore, that we can now start to have them do again. Kind of like, what was that one? Assassination Nation. That movie was pretty crazy. If you haven't seen that one, you
Yeah.
should watch that one too. But a lot of the
Dove
same.
in like the social media, right?
Yeah, like basically, like
Yeah.
yeah, this is a social media movie, but then it turns into like the Purge at the end. It's yeah, it's crazy. But this movie is really interesting. And do you want me to spoil it? You gonna watch it? Do you care if I spoil it?
I do want to watch it, but I also don't mind spoilers.
All right, so we'll do spoilers right now. So I will say, So the first Black Christmas and the remake that came out at some time, I don't recall, but the later Mary Elizabeth Winstead, I believe, whereabouts is basically this guy in this house who's like messing with these sorority girls, right? And he like starts killing them all, and they have to survive. This one is also still about sorority girls, but it centers a lot more around like a fraternity house that's like part like the that's the primary fraternity house on this campus, and they have this kind of creepy ritualistic hazing thing that they do that no one can figure out, and it comes into play at the very end really big. And it's about these girls who, one, like, the head girl of the house was basically, like, raped by one of the guys from the head of the fraternity. And so they do this big Christmas prank at Christmas and sing this song about how, like, there's crazy stuff going on in the frat house, and to just kind of expose them. And all of a sudden, they start, like, dropping off. Like, the sorority starts dropping off like flies. So you think, like, oh, there's someone getting revenge for this video. But then you start to figure out this crazy thing where, like, they kill the killer, right? Like, really early on, and you're like, wow, that's fast. And then there's, like, another one. And then you start to realize that that hazing ritual was actually something more, and there's, like, no blood at all. They're all, like, this black stuff keeps coming out of them when they kill these, like, frat guys. And then it turns into this whole, like, crazy cult thing where, like, the founder of the school started the first fraternity, and he figured out a way to make men like the archetypical male and powerful, and like these frat brothers, when the bust of the founder got moved back into the frat house, like figured out the ritual, and they started like anointing people in order to get revenge on the people who were trying to like affect the people who came out of the frat house, like the teachers and the other people in the world that are getting like effed over by all these women's rights things that are coming out. And so it's basically just like this kind of like gigantic masculine society versus like the sorority house that's trying to like defeat them, and it ends up being just the best. It's just the best. It's so good. Like, you don't see it coming, and the only thing it has to do with Christmas is that it takes place around Christmas, which I think is funny. But I will say that if I recall correctly, so the whole gimmick with Black Christmas in the first place was that he's like killing them with Christmas stuff, right? Like, oh, it's like a sharpened candy cane or like scissors or something like that, right? And they start killing all of the frat guys with those same types of things, so it's kind of got that in it too. So it's like, but it's reverse roles. So I don't know, I was really impressed with that. I think it was awesome. I loved it.
That's awesome. Yeah, you made me excited to watch it. I've got a... So my biggest, concern going into it was the same concern that I had going into Happy Death Day the first time, mm-hmm. which was that it seemed kind of gimmicky. This one kind of gimmicky in the sense that it was a remake of a holiday movie, and then also that it was PG-13. So you've kind of solved the gimmicky side of it. How did you feel about it being PG-13 as opposed to R, like the original?
I think that the director said it best in that it's meant to be PG-13. It's not meant to be a gory horror slasher. It's like a new age kind of like movie. And they get away with a lot of killing and a lot of like blood and stuff because they don't actually have blood. Like, it's that black goo that keeps coming out. So there's a lot of scenes where like there's just black goo and stuff. That's kind of clever, I think, on their part, because they still got some of the kills in when it comes to, like, them killing the frat guys, but they didn't have to show, like, tons of blood, which is cool. But it's like, not necessarily, like, your typical kind of slasher, and I think that's the point. Like, is it's moving forward the genre into, like, something that can be used again to comment on society, which slashers always do if they're good. If they're not part of that slasher, like, thing that... We're going to talk about a second with Krampus movies, but...
Yeah.
You're, like, originating a slasher genre, and you're not just, like, making money off the slasher genre. But anyway,
I don't know.
Like, I wasn't worried about it being PG-13. Because the director had addressed it, and I wasn't that worried about it, and then I went in and then didn't worry about it, and there's no looking back, basically.
Yeah. And that's not to say that, like, you can't make a good PG-13 horror movie. I mean, I love the Insidious movies, so it's not, you know, I mean, there's more than that, just that. But, like, I just was curious because, especially since the first one was R, I believe, and so, like, I just thought that was interesting that it went down to PG-13, but it seems to be getting a lot of really good press on it, so
yeah,
that's awesome. I think, like, it kind of...
Yeah, go ahead, sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Your concept of, like, of them being able to bend the rules a little bit because they're not technically human. It kind of reminded me of the Phoenix X-Men movie that came out recently, the Dark Phoenix one, where, like, the aliens take the form of, like, humans, and so they're just able to, like, obliterate them because they're technically aliens, but they all look human. So yeah. They're, like, getting their faces blown off and, like, you know, getting cut in half and, like, all this crazy, like, violent stuff is happening, and it's like, it's fine, they're aliens. And it's like, but they look like people. I'm so confused how you guys keep bending these rules.
Yeah, like, AMC did that whole thing with justification for The Walking Dead. That's where they could make some of the grossest zombies that have ever existed on television without having to go through, like, the FCC and all that stuff, which was genius, because they're like, they're not people, they're zombies, like, we don't have to worry.
See, it's fine.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it was good. If you're gonna go see it again. It's like one of those ones where, like, if you're on the edge, definitely go see it. I think you should see it because spending money on stuff like this is good, and I like it. So go ahead, spend your cash, your hard-earned cash.
Sure.
I think it was a lot better than the other one I saw. I never saw the original, but the first Black Christmas I saw was, like, the one that they remade from the original, and it was just kind of a stock slasher, but I enjoyed this one a lot more.
So go check it out.
Yeah. So let's,
before it leaves theaters,
let's jump into some more Christmas movies. So since it's that time of year, let's chat about do you want to talk about Krampus movies first? Do you want to talk about the best Christmas movies first? We should talk about Krampus first because it's more suffering, and then we can end on a good note. So,
that sounds good.
I took it upon myself. I wanted to watch Krampus because the 2015 movie Krampus that was directed by Michael Dougherty is, like, pretty good. It's, like, a really good movie. I liked it a lot. It's kind of cheesy. It's got horror elements. It's PG-13, so you don't have too much killing. Like, it's good. Like, it's a good Krampus movie. Krampus looks sweet.
Yeah. They did a really good job with that.
And so that, I was like, let's watch that. That's going to be good. And I was like, man, there's, like, thousands of Krampus movies. And in my idiocy, I was thinking that maybe they had made, like, a straight-to-DVD sequel to this Krampus, right? The 2015 Krampus. And dear Lord, was I wrong. I was so wrong. So I'm going to go through these in the order that I watched them. And I will say right now that I didn't actually watch all of them. I sometimes fast-forwarded through the shittiest parts because some of these were literally terrible. And, I'll just leave that the way it is there. And I'll go through. So the first one, I didn't watch all of them because there's too many and I don't want to die again. even demons have to suffer sometimes, and I don't want to deal with that. The first one I watched is called Krampus Unleashed. And a common theme in these movies, I guess since where they were shot is, like, all in L.A., where people are just making movies for apparently no money at all, because the quality of all the movies I'm about to talk about is terrible. The first one I saw is Krampus Unleashed. And it's set in, like, Christmas, where, like, in Arizona, so there's absolutely no snow or anything, right? It's just, like, open season. And it starts off with this, like, treasure hunters, like, trying to find this dude's treasure, and they end up finding, like, a stone that summons the Krampus. And this Krampus just murders them all, because that's apparently what the Krampus does now.
So, it's not even Christmas?
Not that time, but as the movie goes on, it starts on Christmas when they're all visiting their family, and one of the kids finds another stone in a river while he's panning for gold with his uncle, because that's what you do in Arizona, I guess. And the whole gimmick is, like, that you have to heat it up, so, like, if you put it near, like, fire, it summons the Krampus, and, like, the kid, like, throws, like, a lit cigarette by it, and it summons the Krampus, and the Krampus just starts, like, messing everybody up. Like, I'll say this one, Krampus Unleashed, had the best gore in it for, like, what it was. And it also has a really full practical effect. There's no CG in this movie as far as I can remember, besides, like, the stone and stuff like that. It's all a practical Krampus. So there's, like, the Krampus, like, ripping guts out of people all the time and stuff, which is pretty cool. But the acting is terrible. And, like, you can tell that, like, in all of these movies, you can tell that the reason that they wanted it rated R was just so they could show boobs. Like, every Krampus movie has boobs in it that's not the original Krampus movie. So that one was okay. It ends up, I don't even remember how it ends. I think they get away from it, but someone else finds the stone, and, like, then they're like, oh, here it goes again, you know, kind of thing. But it wasn't terrible. A lot of people die, and they die without mercy. Like, they just kill mothers and moms. There's, like, it's like the mom, the grandma and grandpa, and then, like, their kid, like, their daughter and their son and their family is together. And, like, in the end, it's just a mishmash of people left over. So there's, like, just, they just tear this family apart. But to be fair, the cover has quite literally nothing to do with the actual movie besides that the creature's there. He's got, like, Santa trapped in, like, a crystal ball, and it's just nonsense. But then, this one was probably, out of all the Krampus movies I watched, the best one, but I don't think you should see it. But it's the best one, but you should not watch it. Alright, the next one I watched was called Krampus the Reckoning. And this is a freaking weird one. So the Krampus is totally CG and very terrible. And the way it kills people, and I'll explain how it comes out in a second, but the way it kills people is it, like, stabs its hand into them, or just basically sets them on fire and turns them into, like, a charred husk of a person. Because apparently, like, the Krampus takes you to hell, and that's how hell manifests on Earth. But the plot of this movie is asinine. Like, the whole idea, up until, like, the very end, when I thought it was kind of clever what they did, but the whole idea is there's this little girl named Zoe, and she, like, gets the story explained to her about Krampus, and then it cuts forward, and you don't really know what happens, but she's, like, in a house with another mom who's, like, really abusive, and so she, like, she has these little dolls, and she unchains the little Krampus doll and starts killing her family because she doesn't like them, right? And then this child psychologist comes in and is, like, talking to her about her family dying, and Zoe just keeps killing people because that's how she wants, she rolls. And this is the movie I fast-forwarded through the most because it was absolutely stupid. The dialogue is just meaningless. Like, they're talking about stuff and there's nothing going on. And there's, like, maybe 4 or 5 good kill scenes in the movie. That's an hour and a half, and it's just not worth it. But what happens at the very end is, like, you figure out that there was 2 girls when Zoe was a kid, and the other one was the sister, and the sister actually summoned the Krampus, and so Zoe was, like, stuck in time for, like, 30 years trying to find her sister again, and after her sister set the house on fire to try to cleanse everybody, and the sister's actually the child psychologist, and she's forgotten about all of her trauma, because that's what happens, and I was like, oh, that's kind of clever, too bad it was attached to this movie, like, and that was all I remember, because this is by far, no, actually, I don't want to say that. This was tied for the worst with the 2 other ones that I watched. So the other one...
Wow, you really endured some garbage.
So I watched these 2 out of order. I saw Krampus, the Devil Returns, and I started watching it. And I don't know why, because I thought I couldn't find the first one. But the first one's actually called The Christmas Devil. And I'm just going to summarize these 2, because I didn't even get through all of them. But basically what ends up happening is that there's, like, Santa Claus and his brother, Krampus, and they just start kidnapping kids and, like, killing them. And the whole point is, like, that this guy, this cop, has to stop him in the first one, right? And he does it. But then they come back in the second one, and he has to stop him again. And the reason that I didn't watch these movies at all, and I just fast-forwarded to see what the creature looks like, and by the way, it's shitty, and the CG and the effects are shitty, so don't even bother unless you really want to watch something bad. And also see more boobs. But it is that... they, like, there's various parts throughout these movies where the audio doesn't match the person talking, and then it totally fixes itself with another character. It's like they did voiceovers for people on screen, and then people on screen at the same time have the audio that's right. And I'm like, that takes thinking. You have to actually do that. You can't just have that accidentally shift the audio and happen. Like, you had to have messed that up and then tried to fix it and failed. And so, that is where I stopped with those movies.
I've actually seen a handful of movies that way where they try to go a little bit cheaper. So they get actors that aren't American. And so they try to speak their best American accent and they fail miserably. So then they dub them back afterwards.
Yeah.
It could have been one of those situations. I believe that Day of the Dead Bloodline or something. Kind of. It seems like it did that.
The words almost perfectly. It's just the audio was off. Like, you could tell. So yeah, weird. But anyway, Dawn of the Dead, sir.
Oh, no, Day of the Dead Bloodline. It felt like either the audio quality was just terrible, or some of the characters were dubbed, like, where they wanted to fix their accents, because their lips matched up, but it just felt, I don't know, there's something wrong with that movie.
Yeah, suffice to say, I hadn't seen movies this bad in probably years, and I remember that they're out there, which is making me very cautious to go watch just random horror movies. So thank you, Krampus Movies, for scaring me so much I don't want to watch horror anymore. And let's end on some movies that are good that are around the holiday season. So my go-to for holiday movie watching, one is Die Hard, but that's not horror, so I'm not going to say that. And the other is Scrooged. Scrooged is slightly terrifying if you've ever watched it especially the part at the end where he meets the ghost of Christmas Future. But yeah, it's just more of a darker kind of Scrooge take, and it's got Bill Murray in it, and it's kind of funny, kind of freaky, but that's my go-to Halloween, like, horror. Christmas horror. Also, you got Gremlins, right? I don't really watch that one that much, but that one is quite literally a Christmas horror movie.
Oh, yeah. I love Gremlins. Gremlins is on my list. I feel like that's one of the best movies if you time it right with your child to like be one of their first horror movies.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it's
family
friendly enough,
though,
but it's also kind of creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got it kind of depends on just how you happen to approach it, whether or not you think it's creepy or you just think that they're funny.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of really depends on how you look at it, but it's definitely got some creepy scenes in it. It's got a decent amount of gore. Most of it's happening with the creatures, but still. Yeah, it's of course everybody knows what Gremlins is, but one that maybe you're not familiar with, but does get a lot of word of mouth is Rare Exports, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yes, and it's really good. It's a really fun, like, I believe it's Norwegian and English, but it kind of like splits in between the two, so like half of it's subtitled and half of it isn't. That director, and I can't remember his name, I apologize, did another movie, and I'm pretty sure that, like, Samuel L. Jackson's in it, and it also is, like, centered around a kid, and it's also, like, half Norwegian, half English.
Which one?
I cannot remember what it was called, but I didn't end up seeing it, but it was more of an action movie. It wasn't the same kind of universe as Rare Exports. I am pretty sure, maybe not. It may not have been Samuel L. Jackson, but I'm pretty sure that it was a...
If not Samuel L. Jackson, fairly, are you really racist?
Yep, a fairly famous American actor. I just can't remember who it is. but anyways, so we'll move on from my racism. There's another one that's called While She Was Out that's pretty good.
She got Krampus, as we were talking about before. Because Krampus is, like, it's pretty straightforward. Like, you can watch that as a holiday horror and not have to worry about it too much. You have Black Christmases, too. The original Black Christmas and then the remake and this new one. They're all straight up Christmas horror.
While She Was Out was pretty fun. Like, it's about a lady that's kind of abused by her husband, and she like goes out to get some like gifts like late at night, and gets like harassed by these boys, and it's just like her like snapping and taking revenge on them. It's pretty good. Krampus, obviously, I love. We've talked about it. I feel like I love everything about that movie but the gingerbread men, and they like, it kills the momentum of that movie for me because they spend so much time on practical effects and then they have these random like CG gingerbread that aren't creative at all.
Yeah.
When like everything else in that movie is practical effects and creative.
That's true.
And it bothers me. But anyways, the rest of that movie I love. Wait Further Instructions is really fun. It's an English movie that's got this really weird premise of like the power and everything going out for like everybody, and there's just the TV just like keeps alerting them like with like government mandated messages of like, don't drink the water, and then like it'll say, we're gonna drop injections through the mail slot and you all need to take the injections, and like all this stuff, and then like it's just this family like psychologically melting down and like trying to decide whether or not they should be listening to the television or not. And it's all happening around Christmas time. It's a good movie. I recommend watching it once because it gets nuts at the end. And then A Christmas Horror Story is an anthology film centered around Christmas that has a pretty awesome, like, Krampus versus Santa scene in it that's, like, all practical effects, if I remember correctly.
Sweet.
And that's really cool.
Actually, I saw it on some stuff, and I'm like, yeah, I should watch this.
Yeah, and then the tying-in story of it all is, William Shatner is a radio DJ, and he's like kind of like looping all the stories together. So it's pretty fun. I enjoyed it. I mean, it's not great, but I was entertained.
One of the ones that I watched recently that I haven't talked about was Anna and the Apocalypse, which is actually pretty good. It's like a musical, horror zombie musical Christmas movie. So it's got a lot, and it was actually really good. I'd say watch it if you were like, you've heard of it and you wanted to. It was pretty cool. It was good. What ones shouldn't you watch? I definitely don't watch Jack Frost or any of those movies. Don't watch the Gingerbread Man movies, because there's no point. Stay away from all the Krampus movies that I just listed. All the Creatures Were Stirring was an okay one, I think, if I remember correctly. Right? Do you remember that one?
Yeah, I haven't seen, I didn't, I wasn't able to see that one, I don't think. Yeah, I mean, like, I mean, other than that, it's mostly like the slasher route, like Silent Night, Deadly Night, and then Black Christmas, kind of rounds them out. And then the rest of them, to me, it's not that they're not worth mentioning, but there are a handful out there that it's like, yeah, it's technically during Christmas, but Christmas really has nothing to do with it. It just happens to be Christmas in the background
Yeah, one
of
of the ones
things.
you should watch if you have never seen it is Treevenge, and it's not a movie, it's a short.
Yes.
And so go check that out.
So
I'm not even
good.
going to talk about it or spoil it because it's just off the wall. But it's I will say that it's done by the same people who did Hobo with a Shotgun, so keep that in
Oh,
mind.
yes. Now, if you haven't seen that, that's a whole nother story.
I'll try to remember to link it in the podcast when I post it, but we'll see.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's all we have for today. Have a wonderful holiday season. You know, here from hell. Enjoy the day that celebrates the person who destroyed us all. And, you know, we can enjoy it too. So, have a good time.
Bye.